May I have your attention, please? My name is Andy Black, and you need to understand that America's healthcare system is broken. They haven't found a single cure for any disease in over 60 years, even though America spends more money on doctor's visits, prescription drugs, physical therapies, surgeries, and specialists than any other nation on the planet. In spite of all that, America is dead last in ranking of all the industrialized nations. If Americans were living longer and had a higher quality of health than all those nations, that would be great. But the truth is, we are not living longer and we don't feel better. In fact, we have more disease and live considerably shorter lives than they do. Even their overall quality of health is ranked considerably higher than ours. So, thank you for choosing to listen to today's Health Update, the one place you can turn to learn the truth about America's sick care system. Truth is, the pharmaceutical system decided many years ago to never cure another disease. And in back rooms, you can hear them explain that there is simply too much money in treating symptoms of disease to ever release another cure. Today's health update is much more than just physical health. By listening to Roy Williams, you will learn how to support your health naturally, how to avoid using prescription drugs, and how to decrease pain and feel 10 to 15 years younger in just 1 month. Roy also keeps you informed about fake diseases such as COVID, and how to supercharge your immune system naturally, and what is fast becoming his most popular show, Freedom Fridays. So sit back, relax, and listen so you can begin to understand why so many say to Roy, your show is the shortest 30 minutes on the radio.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another Today's Health Update. Roy Williams, the guru of good health, the superintendent of supplementation. And it's a Monday, so guess what? It's Monday school. Some of you may not get an opportunity to go to church on Sunday mornings and go to Sunday school, so I decided back a few years ago that I would just simply start teaching Monday school on Mondays and dedicate the first show every week to the Word of God. You know, we live in a time when it's becoming more and more obvious with every day that passes that we need wisdom. We need to know what the Word of God tells us to do. You know, Jesus says, "Behold, I have told you all things." Now, what he meant by that, if you study the scriptures in Hebrew, is that through him and the prophets, you know, the prophets were people that God put on this earth. For instance, Jeremiah. Read the first chapter of Jeremiah and you'll see that it's made very clear there that God knew him before he was even in his mother's womb. God selected him from the first earth age because God knew he was a man of God, that he loved God, that he would not turn his back on God, and that God could depend on him to write down every word that God wanted to say to human beings. And if you read the book of Jeremiah, you're going to find out that it is indeed, as relevant today, more so in a lot of ways, as it was in the day that Jeremiah wrote it. Knowing the Word of God is what's going to see us through what we're going through on this earth age now. Remember, we are in the second earth age, or I like to refer to it as the flesh age. In the first earth age, we were in spiritual bodies that never grew old, it never died, that didn't have pain. I mean, it was really a glorious existence right here on earth. But a third of the spiritual people, by the way, called sons of God, if you read about it in the book of Genesis, you got to remember, in the first earth age, and in the third earth age, there'll be no male and female. We'll all be as we were in the first earth age, and they're referred to as men. They appeared as men. All the angels of God that come to earth to visit us were men in appearance, and they don't have wings. We're not going to fly. Don't get caught up in that mythology that's taught in a lot of places today and pictures that are painted, and you just led to believe the wrong things. But you've got to know the Word of God. You've got to have wisdom to get through this earth age. And I do believe we're in those end times. Of course, everybody before us has said that, so I can't prove it with any shadow of doubt. But I can tell you this. I believe that God's elect, they're the ones that did not turn their back on God in the first earth age, are coming into this earth right now knowing the fact. And the most important fact you'll know, and if you know this, and if you're excited about what I teach and you're excited about the Word of God, you're probably one of God's elect. And if you're here in that final day when Satan sets foot in Jerusalem claiming to be Christ, you will not be fooled. Okay, you will not be fooled, and you may be one of those that has to testify against Satan in that earth age. So be prepared, know the Word of God, let us teach you what's going on. We're in the book of Proverbs now, so if you're following along, get your King James Version of the Bible out. Proverbs chapter 5 is where we're starting today, verse 1. What an incredible chapter. It is teaching us how to live in this earth age with some wisdom and how to understand the Word of God at the same time. So Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. Let's start right there. And remember, the way I teach this is I'm going to give you the King James written word, because I teach chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but then I'm going to break it down into a modern English, not changing the meaning of anything that's in any verse. If you pay close attention, you'll see I've used in words that we will better understand, but it did not change the message that was being put across to us in this. So chapter 5, verse 1 says, "My son, attend to my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding." He's trying to get our attention here. He's trying to say this is important. Modern English would read, "My child, pay attention to my wisdom and listen carefully to the Word of God." That's what understanding is knowing the Word of God. And where it says attend to, unto my wisdom, it simply means pay attention to my wisdom. It's important. It's good for you. Verse 2, King James Version, "that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge." Now, you may not understand exactly what he means by discretion. By what he means by "thy lips may keep knowledge." The lips don't keep knowledge. The brain keeps knowledge, okay? But let me give it to you in modern English. "That you may observe his plan." Whose plan? God's plan. "And speak with knowledge." Okay, it's a simple one, but it's so important to understand that knowledge is the Word of God. Remember, the beginning of wisdom is understanding God's Word. The fear of the Lord, having reverence for God, you might say, is what he says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3, King James Version. "For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." Now, I want to explain something to you. When it says him, his in the Bible, or even her in a lot of cases, that's not gender related. It's talking about human beings, whether you're male or female. So to read this in modern English, verse 3, you can read it in the King James Version, but follow along as I give you the English version. It says, "The lips of a stranger are sweet like honey from a comb." In other words, someone outside of your marriage, outside that somebody is just, you're lusting after or something. It don't matter if they're male or female. "The lips of a stranger are sweet like honey from a comb, and their mouth is more pleasant than olive oil." I don't know if you've ever been tempted, and I think if you're alive and past age of 20, you have been, you know what it means by, their mouth is smoother than oil, more pleasant than olive oil, you might call it. It can be tempting. You got to know the Word of God, and you got to be disciplined in the Word of God to manage to avoid those situations. Proverbs 5, 4, King James Version, "but her end is bitter as wormwood." If you get involved with that stranger, with that person that you shouldn't be involved with, "the end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." Modern English. "But the reward is poisonous." That's what wormwood is. It's poison. "And cuts like a double-edged sword." Pretty easy to understand. Just remember, wormwood means poison. Verse 5, "her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell." English, their steps lead to death. If you follow them, it's going to shorten your lifespan. It's going to cause you to live a more miserable life. You ever notice when people get involved with adulterers, it's a horrible existence. It may start out awesome and exciting and passionate, but it ends, like he said, poisonous. Their ways grasp hold to the grave. That's what it means by the steps take hold on hell. Hell, in most cases in the Bibles, means grave, death, early death. Proverbs 5, verse 6 says, "Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of her life." In other words, you're looking at her life or his life, doesn't matter which it is, and you're thinking, wow, that's a cool life. That will be fun. Look what it says, though. "Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them." Modern English. If you should consider that way of life, in other words, if you're pondering that path of life, if you should consider that way of life, remember this, their path is confusing. They cannot be trusted. You got to remember that. Don't get involved with adultery. Okay, that's what this is talking about. Proverbs 5, 7. Or it don't even have to be adultery. It could be fornication with any of the opposite sex or with the same sex in today's day and time. Don't get involved with that. Remember, homosexuality, both directions, male and female, is an abomination. Now, you may say, "Roy, you're just sexist. That's a horrible thing to say. These people choose that lifestyle." I know they do. But do you know the Word of God, and it don't change? And I'm not telling you my feelings. I don't, I'm not the judge. God's the judge. And he says that lifestyle is detestable. All right, remember that. Chapter 5, verse 7, King James. "Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth." Modern English. "Listen to me now, little children, and do not turn away from the words I speak." Now, where it says little children, it's not talking about age related. It's talking about how long you've been involved as a Christian, how long you've been involved in the Word of God. Are you mature or not? He's talking to the Proverbs here is talking to those that aren't mature in the Word of God. Verse 8, "Remove thy way from her and come not nigh the door of her house." He's warning you. This is a warning. In modern English, you would say, remove yourself far from that way of life. Don't even go near the entrance of their house, male or female. Don't matter. Remember, this is not gender. 5:9, King James, "Lest thou give thine honor unto others." What's going to happen if you cave into that and enter her house? "Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel." Modern English. "Or you will surrender your honor to strangers. You'll have a bad reputation. You'll have a bad name, and your future to the merciless." Yep, let me tell you something. You get involved with somebody you shouldn't be involved with sexually, you're going to end up some people being cruel to you. That's what it means. Verse 10, King James, "Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger." Get involved with them, and what's going to happen? In modern English, you'll allow strangers to take control of your substance, everything you've worked for, and all you have earned become their possessions. I know hundreds and hundreds of people in my lives that got involved with people they shouldn't be involved with and end up spending all their money in court or all their getting a divorce or giving all their money to somebody to keep them quiet. Don't get involved in that. Verse 11, "And thou mourn," it's what's going to happen to you, "and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed." What does that mean? Leaving you groaning at the end of your days when your body is destroyed. That's pretty easy to understand if you think about it. Verse 12, "And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof." What's that? Here's what they're saying. While saying to yourself, how have I shunned discipline? That's what instruction is. It's knowing the truth and then living the truth. Even when it's not comfortable, you do it. "While saying, how have I shunned discipline, and my consciousness rejected correction." That's what you'll be asking yourself in the end after you've got involved with this kind of lifestyle and these kind of people. All right, let's go to verse 13. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers. In other words, I've ignored what I was taught, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. But modern English would say, and I refused to obey the voice of my teachers, nor did I listen to those that instructed me. You know, God gives us people to instruct us for specific reasons. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it. And he wants us to rely on him, to rely on him and not man's traditions. But if you ignore God's word, you'll end up, verse 14 answers it. You'll be saying to yourself, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. As a result of me not listening to instruction, he's saying, as a result, I found myself at the gates of wickedness, losing sight of moral authority. He ignored what the church was teaching him, what God's people was teaching him. 15, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. What's he talking about here? Be careful who you share your body with. Let me read it in modern English. Drink water from your own well and flowing waters from your own spring. In other words, you marry somebody, you select somebody that you can partner with, that you can both live with each other and love each other and take care of each other, and then you stay in that stream, not some other stream. Don't get involved with adultery or fornication or step outside what you ought to be doing. Verse 16, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets. Basically, he's asking a question here. Why share your sexuality with strangers and your source of life with just anyone? What is, when we become sexually involved with another person, what are we doing? We're sharing our source of life. What is the source of life? It's the ability to procreate. You need to look at that as something very special and not something you just share with everybody. 17, let them be only thine own, talking about those sexual things, and not strangers with thee. In other words, sexuality is a gift that belongs to you and should be kept sacred. You see why you need to be teaching this to your children and your grandchildren? You see why these words are important? Are these things being taught today? They certainly aren't being taught in the school systems. And unfortunately, a lot of the churches are teaching traditions of man which destroy the Word of God, and they're not teaching this fact. Oh, it's uncomfortable. I get a little uncomfortable teaching this, but I know what's best for the people. It's the Word of God. So let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. In other words, let your source of life have divine favor and be happy with the spouse of your youth. That's basically what it's saying. 19, let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. All right. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Now, the Bible's pretty specific. It's laid down there so we can understand it. But in modern English, it would say, allow her or your spouse to be a charming doe. You know how beautiful a doe is? One of the most beautiful animals God ever created. That's what it means. And a precious deer. That's what a roe is. It's a deer. Let her bosom refresh you throughout your life. This is not rocket science, folks. It just makes sense that some things are special. And let me tell you something, sexuality is one of those special things. Verse 20, and why will thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? English, why would you, my child, and that's an uneducated and not mature Christian, why would you, my child, be tempted by someone you don't even know and sensually connect to the body of a stranger? Why in the world would you do that? Verse 21, I know it's fun. I know it's very pleasant. I know it creates a lot of passion, But is it right or is it wrong? Is it good or is it bad? You be the judge based on the wisdom that I'm teaching you here today. So, why would you do that? Why would you do that to yourself when you understand the consequences? 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondered all his goings. What's this telling us? Well, that's real simple. Modern English. Know that the conduct of humans is before the sight of the one true and living God. There's only one true and living God. He knows everything we do. He can even read your mind. And he observes every choice we make. That's what the last part of that verse means. And he pondereth all his goings simply means, as I just said, that he observes every choice we make. You can't hide anything from God. All right, verse 22. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. In other words, if you do these things, your wicked decisions will not go unpunished, and they will be tangled by the ropes of their own iniquity. You're just getting yourself involved in a spider web that's almost impossible to escape from. That's what it's talking about. 23, he shall die without instruction. Now, it's he or she that gets involved in this kind of lifestyle will die without instruction. That's what Proverbs is telling us. And is the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. And in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Let's read that whole verse in modern English. He shall die without instructions, what King James says. In other words, they, whoever chooses this lifestyle, will go to the grave without discipline. That's what instruction is. Remember that. Without discipline. Because of the abundance of their foolishness, they will be deceived. That's what folly is. It's foolishness, and it will deceive you. Oh, it's fun. But is it right or is it wrong? Is it good or is it bad? That's why he gives you both options here. So you can decide. You see, God didn't make us and force us to be what he would like us to be. He made us with freedom of choice so we can choose what we want to be. But he gave us an instruction manual to go by. And I'm telling you, throughout my life, I found out that it's the best instructions you can possibly receive. So that ended chapter 5, verse 23. Let's go now to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger. What's he talking about here? We've changed subjects. Now we're talking about loaning money or making promises to pay somebody else's debt or something like that. Modern English would read verse 1 this way. Follow it in King James, but here's what it would read in modern English. My child, that means a young person in Christ. If you give your word to a friend or you promise security for a stranger, that's what you're doing. You're promising to secure a note for them or you're securing them to be able to buy a car, whatever it is. You need to think about that before you do it. Not saying you should never do it. Be careful. Proverbs 6:2, King James says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Okay? Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. That's a repeat there. He's stressing it. Anytime something said twice almost the same way, it's for emphasis. So, I want you to read it this way. Instead of thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, you are trapped by your own words. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. You will be held responsible for what you have said. You know, if you give somebody your word and you don't keep it, you aren't worth very much. But if you give somebody your word and you keep it, you stand for moral character and they can trust you. They can trust you. So let's look at 3. Do this now. If you've done these things, if you've got involved with someone else and you've made security for them or, you know, whatever, do this now, my son. This is verse 3, King James Version. And deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble yourself or thyself and make sure thy friend. Modern English. Do this immediately when you realize you've made a commitment you should make, my child, a young one in Christ, and save yourself. When you have co-signed with a friend, go humble, submit yourself, and plea with your friend to stop the agreement. It's okay to stop an agreement when you've made the wrong decision, but you got to do it in spare time. You got to do it quickly. You can't waste time doing it. 6:4. Verse 4, King James, give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. In other words, don't even rest your eyes or close your eyelids to sleep. Verse 5, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. In other words, rescue yourself as a deer from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the snare. You ever seen a snare set up for birds? Oh, so many times birds will fall into the snare. Well, guess what? It almost always ends up costing them their life. And that's what's going to happen here. You'll be tied up with that person, and you'll be responsible for that debt for many years in some cases. Verse 6, go to the ant. Now he's giving you an example of what you can think of. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. What does that mean in modern English? Watch the ant, you lazy people. That's what sluggard is. It's a lazy person, don't want to work, wants everything given to them. Poor, poor, pitiful me. Boy, God don't like that. Watch the ant, thou lazy people, in modern English. Contemplate their ways and gain wisdom. You watch an ant bed. Nobody has to lead them or tell them to store food in the summertime when there's plenty of food so they can get through the winter. They do it automatically. They're not lazy. Proverbs 6:7, King James, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, the ants. In other words, without a leader or ruler, that's modern English. 8, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest, modern English. They build their house in the summer and store food during harvest. How much clearer can it get than that? Verse 9, how wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Modern English, how long will you sleep, you lazy person? When will you wake up and get busy? Easy to understand, right? Proverbs 6:10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Modern English, in other words, too much sleep, too many naps, too many breaks. Verse 11 tells you the results. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. How does that read, modern English? Poverty will strike like a woman in labor. You know, a woman can't stop it. Once that labor starts, it's going to be finished, okay? And that's what will happen to you. One day you'll wake up, you're stricken in poverty, and you can't get out. You're marred up to your neck in mud. Just words. You can't get out. As if an armed person took all you had. That's what it means when it says, and they want as an armed man. Basically, you've snared yourself, and you're going to pay that price for what you've done. We're going to stop right there with verse 11 today. Thank you for listening to the Word of God. Thank you for listening to today's health update. Thank you for choosing to be a part of this show. And remember, I don't beg for money. I'm not going to ask you for money. And if you're involved with the church, it's always begging for money. You need to think that through. God even told the disciples, don't even take a begging bag with you when you go out. And Paul says, work your way as you go. Don't expect other people to pay your way. Don't be lazy. You're going to be a man or a woman of God. You're going to take control of your own destiny following the Word of God, doing what the Word of God instructs us to do. So anyway, share this lesson and these things with other people. Some of you got children or grandchildren or somebody you know that needs to hear these words. Share it with them. Just ask them to listen. You can't make them listen. You can't force them to go that way. But you can open the door, and that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. So thank you again for listening. Until next time, may God continue to bless all of us with abundant health.
As I said earlier, thank you for choosing to listen to today's health update. If you like what you heard, please consider sharing it with others who need to know the truth. To hear this or any of Roy's shows, go to www.podbean.com. www.podbean.com. And remember, you can learn more by going to our website, www.nhcherbs.com. That's www.nhcherbs.com. Or you can call to get more information at 256-757-0660.